So Dave Rice was a member of the Special Task Force on Nuclear Waste at San Onofre Nuclear Plant. He's also the vice president of the Humanist Association in Orange County. And at the same time, a busy guy is the commissioner of the West Coast Adult Soccer League. Dave has a 35-year career in the technology industry as far as strategy, marketing, sales, growth, all kinds of things. Now we find him as the president of the United Nations Association of Orange County, and we welcome him to the program this morning. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Now, you have a rich history of service to your fellow man. You can tell if I'm going down and reading everything you did, and I left off about 5 minutes worth here. You have a rich history of service. How did you get involved with the United Nations Association here in Orange County?
It is an interesting story. I've lived in Orange County for 40 years, and like most people that I run into, never heard of United Nations Association. I did grow up overseas.
Right.
I had parents who were missionaries in China. I was born in Japan and then grew up in Taiwan.
Okay.
So I think some of it comes from that, both the exposure to the UN and the service. But I was at an event and heard a presentation on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Right.
As part of the our humanism groups. And just immediately connected and said, wow, this is very much in sync
right.
with all of our other values. Let's check this out. And when I looked into it and realized that the organization has actually in Orange County been here for over 40 years,
right.
and that it is a network of groups throughout the country and throughout the world that basically support the values and mission of the UN, then it became, you know, sort of a clear path to want to get involved.
Right. And one of those values and missions is the 17 Sustainable Development Goals.
Right.
You brought this magnificent chart that I had studied all weekend. This exact chart I had studied all weekend. I thank you for bringing it in, and certainly large enough that I can read it from here. There are 17 very clear and well-defined goals. I think my first question is, at the turn of this century, in the year 2000, there was the Millennium Development Goals.
Correct.
So explain to us what the SDGs are and what didn't the MDGs achieve that you hope to achieve with the SDGs?
Right, great question. A lot of people don't quite realize that when the UN was founded here, by the way, in the U.S., and by the way, today is UN Day. Today is October 24th. It's the founding of the UN.
Thank you. I should have made mention of that.
Okay.
Yeah,
in
all right.
1945.
Right.
Actually, the United Nations Association group of advocates locally had already been formed, not with that name, but prior to the, what failed after World War I, the League of Nations.
Right.
That group stayed together and helped promote the idea. So when the UN finally got formed by Roosevelt, it had two major organizations. Most people focused on the Security Council.
Right.
And that was the major one. And again, goal to prevent further wars, you know.
Right.
And so the idea of the Security Council is diplomacy. Let's try to have a way where we can, you know, work things out and talk out the issues diplomatically. The other key agency that got established was the Social and Economic Council.
Right.
The Social and Economic Council was established to help solve world problems. And the realization was that it's these problems that are creating a lot of the conditions for war and conflict. So if we can tackle those, then, you know, we're having a lot less chance of war and strife. And obviously, this has over time given us so many great agencies like the World Health Organization, UNESCO for education. All of these wonderful agencies have come out of that entity. And so that's become almost a more important in many ways entity. And that led to the development of the Millennial Goals in 2000. They said, you know what? We need to apply this model of setting actually targets to solve our major problems. So let's set up this idea of goals.
Right.
And we did that for a 15-year period from 2000 to 2015. They came up with these first 8 goals here.
Right.
To end poverty, to end hunger, to provide health and well-being for everybody, quality education, gender equality, clean water, sanitation, affordable and clean energy, decent work, and economic growth. Those were the goals and targets that got established globally, and then they started promoting that and starting to ask folks to get on board and let's work together collaboratively to try to solve these issues. And what they found is at the end of that 15-year period, in fact, conditions worldwide improved significantly. So
okay.
things like poverty and hunger reduced in half during that period of time. Was it all because of this program? Of course not. Right. There was a lot of other things going on, but the fact that it brought this model to sort of recognize our issues and start trying to work on them together was important. And I think then led to when we got to 2015, let's do it again. Let's extend it another 15 years.
Right.
So they went from 2015 to 2030, added 9 more goals, this time mostly focused on climate.
Right.
Because while we had clean energy and so forth, we didn't quite have the seriousness that we have with climate.
We did not in 2000 have the exactly. focus on climate right. that we do now.
That's right. So goal 13 is climate action, 14 life below water, 15 life on land, 11 is sustainable cities and communities, you know, responsible consumption and production. All of these are there. And then, frankly, goal number 17 says that we'll never achieve all of the goals globally unless we really figure out how to collaborate. How to collaborate not only among ourselves, among our own institutions, but especially across industry sectors. So that means collaboration from the government sector for policymaking to the business sector,
right.
to the academic sector, and to the nonprofit sector. We have to figure out how we can all work together.
Okay. And when number one on the list is poverty.
Right.
And obviously it was addressed and maybe halved by the time yes. 2015 came around. But when we talk about ending poverty, and we see some of the poorest nations in the world, they're run by really corrupt regimes. Are corrupt regimes our biggest obstacles to solving the problem in some of these nations like Chad and Sudan?
I think there's definitely a link. There's no question. And you can see that, you know, while the UN is a nonpartisan organization, certainly the idea of democracy and freedom
right.
are what it's all about. And it is all based on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. All of these goals right. come from those 30 rights
right.
that often created by Eleanor Roosevelt and other world leaders, which, by the way, we're celebrating on December 10th. That's the inauguration. That's the birthday of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is the world's most translated document, by the way.
Right.
those led to all of these goals. And so those are the basis. Right. And so the freedom and democracy is key.
Right.
And obviously when you're going to have this, we're seeing it everywhere. When you have dictatorships, people have no choice. People have no real freedoms.
Right.
And so, yeah, they're completely linked.
Okay. And when you want to spur economic growth in an impoverished nation, what's the first step? I'm a thinker that you can't, I'm under the belief that you can't solve poverty unless you include education and, right. and human rights.
Exactly.
But what's the first step in spurring economic growth in one of these poorer nations?
Yeah, I really think that it is, first of all, education and then opportunity. And there's no question. I mean, you know, I came from the tech space.
Right.
and there's no question that the development of technology has provided so much more opportunity today than ever before.
Right.
So the opportunity for, you know, somebody with some education to actually, you know, create a business and, you know, get something going, as long as the conditions in their country enable that,
right.
then that's more capable today. You know, that's more available today than ever. And I think there are a lot of, on the other side, there are a lot of institutions that have money on the financial side, the hedge fund folks even, especially around climate right now, but there's this whole movement towards social accountability.
Right.
And we're seeing that not only in the climate space with ESGs in the business world, but we're seeing this formation of these B corporations that, you know, are really socially responsible organizations. So right. it's a fascinating, to me, movement into social accountability with the realization that, frankly, we are all in this together
right.
and we can't do well on one side of the globe or one area if we've got a lot of people not doing well in other places. We're connected.
When you talk about companies and organizations showing social responsibility, is that a finite group that it's the same people giving, it's the same people caring, or have you noticed a growth?
Oh, no, there's a huge growth
okay.
Going on. And I wasn't aware, frankly, of ESGs, environmental social governance
right.
in the business world until about a year ago. And all of a sudden, I mean, I'm plugging that into my news feeds. And it is the topic.
Okay.
And, you know, it's experiencing its own growth pains, you
right.
know, as any new measurement. Because when you think about it, we're fundamentally shifting our way of measurement from pure profit
right,
which has been the case,
right,
in at least the Western, you know, world, right, to a more balanced sense of socially responsible profit.
Okay.
That really, in the end, works for everybody.
Right. You can still profit, but here it's going to help over here. Right.
Right. Right. And you know, we talked about soccer coming into this, and,
right,
and you know, we're both big fans, and you know, I'm a fan for basketball as well. Americans relate to team sports.
We do.
So we get the idea of team ball.
Right.
And I refer to this whole thing as team ball, as opposed to sort of our genre of individualism and right, rugged individualism, which is individual ball. That's been what we've been playing, and we really need to shift to a more team ball focus, and that's what a lot of this is about.
Wonderfully stated, by the way. So as I look at these 17 sustainable development goals here, and do each of them, as far as the budget, the United Nations Association of OC, the budget for each of these here, how do we determine the budgets for the separate goals, or do they all 17 share the same budget?
Yeah, great question. And there's no question that the goals are all interrelated.
Okay.
And if you look at the whole list,
right,
there isn't an issue that we have that doesn't fall in under the, you know, this set of goals somewhere. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find that. So what we're about as a chapter, what's happened lately is that while in the past our focus has been on really educating, inspiring, and mobilizing the public to support the UN and its values and its mission, today with the sustainable goals, the mission is to say, you know, we're never going to achieve the goals worldwide unless we can apply the model to our local communities.
Right.
And start, you know, getting the model down one community at a time. So that's our mission now. And as a chapter, we've really established that as our go-to mission. So going forward for Orange County, we would like to see all of our major institutions within Orange County, from the government side to the business world to the academic world and the nonprofit space, come together and really adopt the model that says, for the issues that we're working on together,
right,
whether it's the homelessness issue, trafficking, housing costs, crime, environment, you name it, let's actually set some targets,
right,
for what we want to accomplish. Let's hold ourselves accountable, and let's start figuring out how to work more closely together with all of these segments so that we can actually gain progress. And what we're going to do is create a platform. Actually, a platform has been created by the UN.
Okay.
It's an open source platform called OpenSDG.
Oh, they think of everything, don't they?
Well, right. What's exciting is that the city of LA is
right,
the first in the country to really embrace this.
Okay.
And so for the last few years, they've had an office in the mayor's office there,
right,
working on this with this platform and actually creating a set of metrics. If you go to their website, the city of LA, you'll see this model right here, the sustainable goals. And when you click on no poverty, it'll drill down into here's the initiatives that we have going on to address that.
Right.
And, and you know, for each one. So they are all related. They all do have their own separate metrics, but then there's overlap. At the end of the day, it becomes this big data gathering and data analytics
right,
movement.
And
so it's a big picture. It's a big vision, but there's a need to pull everybody together with this commonly shared data.
Right.
And the more we can do that, then the more effective we can be at basically understanding where we are on the issues. And then the goal is to create a dashboard,
right,
where we can just see on each point, here's where we are today. Here's where we're trying to go. What do we need to do to get there? I mean, basic kind of business 101.
Much like we'll use LA as a model right now, right, as being the first, are yeah, you reaching out to cities in Orange County? And have you gotten positive or
yes,
have you gotten pushback?
There has been very little pushback,
okay,
I will say that. People are excited about
right,
this idea. This is a long-term program. It's not going to happen overnight,
right,
but we're really looking to extend our reach into the community in all levels, at the business level, at the academic, as I mentioned, and in governments. What we're thinking about doing is really extending a contest to the cities. We have 34 cities.
Right.
Which cities want to step up and become the leader you know, in this space by really adopting the model?
Right.
And by starting to implement it. Now, San Diego, south of us, is getting ready to adopt. So they've been on this for a bit. And
excellent,
so good on them. So we've got north and south of us.
Right.
Two good models. Also, the state of Hawaii is one of the leading you know, places in the U.S.
Right.
They're part of a global island consortium of island groups that are so threatened by sea level rise and climate change. So they've been on this as well, and they started their own, it's called Aloha Plus, established by the four major cities there almost 10 years ago.
Excellent.
And have a whole staff.
If someone is sitting in their car, driving in their car right now, and they like what they're hearing, and they want to feel more involved, how does the average person just get involved and want to and be able to help?
Absolutely. Our site is una-oc.org.
Right.
una-oc.org. You can just go there and submit a little form that says, I'm interested in becoming involved. You can either join as a member or just tell us you want to be involved. Our memberships are, you know, pretty low cost, $25 for a year for the
Excellent.
First year, and then I think it goes to 50. It's free for young people under 26, and 2/3 of our membership are young people.
Okay.
So one of the cool things about this is the appeal that it has to youth today because they're all into sustainability.
That's fantastic. So yeah, 67% of them are under 26 years old.
Correct.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I love knowing that.
That's great.
So the dumb guy question. I've got to ask you the dumb guy question. Okay. So I asked you earlier about the more impoverished nations, and Niger is number 3 on the list of impoverished nations. Chad is number 2. South Sudan is at number 1. If we took, for instance, South Sudan. This is the dumb guy question, and don't hate me for it, but they have not just the problems with drought and poverty. They had poverty 20 years ago. They have it now still. Drought and war. How do we affect change there when there's so much to battle against?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the big problems. And what people don't realize about the UN often, and part of our job is to try to do a little bit of marketing job on what the UN has done and what they're really accomplishing.
Right.
You know, they give out, I mean, just millions of vaccines. They do deal with many skirmishes. They do have their own peacekeeping force. They're not a military,
right.
But the peacekeeping force of over 100,000 people are there to step in and try to tamp down major conflicts that are right. going on in places like that. But, you know, there's only so much the UN itself can do. It's not designed to be NATO or a military,
right.
you know, institution. That's a big piece of it, and that needs to be addressed. But it's really the humanitarian help
right.
that is needed. And then, you know, a lot of groups needing to go in and start working together to try to lift these people up and out. But if they are in a dictatorship, it's really difficult. So
right.
I think that I wished I had a better answer for how to deal with dictatorships. I mean, you know, we're seeing the rise, and it's probably our biggest threat. You know, we see going on dictatorship versus democracy out there.
Right. All right. So what does your day look like from here on in? What are you working on? What is your focus for the rest of the day or the rest of the week?
Yeah, exactly. I have a call here at 10 o'clock with some expert at a university on the data platforms.
Okay.
So we're pursuing the data platforms, getting that set up here. And we just created a site that's going to be our website for this event. Now, the UN is calling this program Local 2030.
Okay.
Local 2030, localize the goals.
Right.
And so you can go to local2030.org okay. and see a lot of information about what's going on globally in this effort, which is a pretty cool thing.
Right.
There's a ton of information out there. We decided to, rather than tie it to 2030, because we want this to continue on, and I'm sure at 2030 the UN will extend this.
Right.
But we've created a site called Local SDGs CA. So Local SDGs California,
right.
.org.
Okay.
So we're going to be building that out, and then with that will be this platform that we're adopting, the Open SDG platform, working in conjunction with the City of LA. There's a whole network of universities that are connected to this called the Strategic, the Sustainable Development Solutions Network,
right.
SDSN, 150 research institutions. There's a lot going on, and we're just trying to get our arms around it all right now and see what's out there so we can start really collaborating and pulling together. Meantime, we are working with major, you know, groups. For example, in Orange County, the largest nonprofit is United Way.
Right.
And they've been doing a program like this for nearly 10 years, which is fantastic, called Phase 2024. So we've connected with them and are talking about how can we collaborate together going forward.
Right.
They will extend their program past 2024, but they focused on 4 key issues in Orange County: education, healthcare, housing, and jobs. And so they have major initiatives going on to help these things, and they're collecting a lot of data. And that's so important. And there's a lot of other organizations doing a lot of really good things. Right. But we just need to pull them together a little more.
All right. Well, you're doing great work. I would love for you to come back and keep us updated. And if there's anything, any word that we can get out, I invite you back. I definitely want to have you back, Dan.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
He's the president of the United Nations Association of Orange County. And Dave is a member, by the way, of the biggest adult soccer league. That's what got us talking into soccer, by the way. He's the commissioner for the West Coast Adult Soccer League, but very important at the United Nations Association of Orange County. If you missed any of those ways to help, I've got those ways right here. Just give me a call. Dave Rice, thank you very much for being part of the show this morning.
Thanks again.
All right, 8:54 the time.